Life is kind of funny when you think about it. If you sit back and you think about life and you start off as obviously a very young baby, you don't have much consciousness about you, but at least not that you remember as you get later on in life. Fully conscious, I'm not saying babies aren't fully conscious, but you don't have a long memory at that time of age. But when you think about life, it's kind of fun because it's almost like God created each person with a bunch of holes. You're newborn into this life and into this world, and basically you're just empty, full of holes that need to be filled. And I was thinking about that this week, and I'm thinking, you know, if those holes aren't filled just right with the right things and the good things that are necessary in life, then we struggle with life. We suffer when some of these important holes aren't filled with the right things in life. Some of the holes that need to be filled and filled up properly in life include that of love. We all need to have that hole in us to have love filled. And it needs to be filled with the right kind of love, with a good, clean love. And that young child, when it's first born, needs to have that hole really filled in their life, full of love from brothers and sisters, from mom and dad, from grandparents. Another hole in life that needs to be filled is that of kindness. When we're young and we're growing and we're learning all the things that come to us in life, kindness needs to be a big part of our life. To have kindness given to us, not meanness, not the opposite of those things. And unfortunately, too many children in this world are brought up with a lack of these important aspects being filled into their life. But love, kindness, a good, sound education, getting that foundational education at a young age is so important. I think they said that by 5 or 6 years old, you've pretty much established your morals in your life. That's how important it is that you have that right foundation and education in your life as well. It's a very big and important hole that needs to be filled in a right and proper way. Also, another hole is that of family. A young child needs to have that mom and dad and brothers and sisters if they're there as well. They need to have that sense of family in their life and have that hole filled. And a lot of these holes that are in our life that are filled aren't just filled in the first year or 2 or 5 years. They get filled on up through adolescence and your teen years and on into adulthood. Another big important hole in our life that needs to be filled, and if it doesn't ever get filled, that person really struggles in life. And that hole is the knowledge and the understanding and a relationship with God. Too many people get to adulthood in their life and they don't have that hole being filled with a knowledge and understanding of how to have a relationship with God. And these are just a few of those holes that are in all of our life that need to be filled as we grow from a very young toddler on into adulthood. And really, on in until we take our last breath. We're still nurturing ourselves and growing and filling these holes in different ways. But it's crucial at the early stages of life that these and others, and you can probably think of other holes in your life that are very important to be filled. I just gave a sampling of a few to kind of make the point that our life is in a process of having holes filled in it as we go through it. If any of these holes in life don't get filled properly, then we simply struggle in that part of our life. We struggle in that part of our life. Tomorrow, we'll celebrate Mother's Day. And when you stop and consider your life, I think you'll agree that there is nothing more special in your life than your mom. Mom brings back so many memories, and God intended them to be good memories of your mother. Moms are very special and important in all of our lives. And when you get right down to it and you think about what we've discussed so far, moms are the big filler of those holes in a young child's life. Mom is with that young baby and that child on up through its teen years until it graduates high school and goes off to college or starts his own career working somewhere. Mom is with that child, filling those holes, all those important necessities of life to make that young child successful. You have to have those holes and others filled properly to be completely successful in life. And maybe looking back in our own lives, we can all sit and say, you know, and analyze our own life and say, you know, I can see where maybe this hole or that hole wasn't completely filled the way it should have been. But moms play a very big role in filling those holes in a young child's life. Mothers are a very special creation of God. God designed and created mothers. We don't do that on ourselves. God designed and created mothers. He gave them certain traits that are designed to help us build our foundation in life. That's the big role of mothers, is building that foundation for their children so they can get off to a great start in life. And they start filling these important holes in each and every one of us. Well, today I would like to share a few thoughts of these special traits that make up our mothers. Mom is just a very special blessing to all of us, and it's a blessing that we've all received from our Father in heaven. So the first trait that I want to discuss, actually I'll go ahead and give you the title for my sermon today. The title is Mothers Designed to Fulfill Us. Mothers Designed to Fulfill Us. I chose the word fulfill because, and when I chose that, I was actually thinking about what Christ said about himself, that he came to fulfill the law and to not do away with it. Mothers have that same role. They are created and designed by God with special traits to fulfill a child, to fulfill each of us. So again, the first point is, mothers naturally sacrifice for her family. Mothers naturally sacrifice for her family. She always and naturally puts herself last when it comes to her children. She doesn't have to stop and think about it. A mother will almost instinctively, actually it was put in them, I believe, by God the Father, to make sure that they give that care and that concern to their little ones. So many mothers down through time have fed and clothed their children and their families before they took care of themselves, especially during the Depression and when times are very tough. I've read countless stories about women that actually you don't hear it from the women so much, but you hear it from the children once they're grown up into adulthood. They tell stories about how their mom would give them the food when she would go hungry, and so they could go off to school and have something to eat. A mother naturally sacrifices herself on behalf of her children. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We'll read verse 15. This describes in this verse here in verse 15 of Proverbs 31 how this virtuous woman sacrificed for her family, specifically for her children. And this no doubt gets carried out time and time again down through the ages, down through time. It wasn't just something that was special to this woman that's recorded here in the Bible. It applies to women in general. Verse 15 of Proverbs 31 says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So she gets up early and prepares the food for her family for that day. gets their breakfast ready, prepares their lunch, so the kids head off to school and the husband heads off to work. I remember my mom always did that. My mom was the first one up every morning. And then she would head downstairs and start preparing all of the kids. We had four kids in our family, so she would started putting together all the lunches for the day. My dad would head off to work, and she would have his lunch ready to go as well. And she would fix us a nice breakfast on top of that. A mother is usually the first one up in the house and usually the last to go to bed. She sacrifices in that way for her family. A mother's sacrifice actually begins even before the child is born, doesn't she? She goes through carrying that child in her womb until the 9 months are complete. And then she gives birth to that child. And she sacrifices a lot, her whole body during that time. She goes through aches and pains and morning sickness. And then she gives birth, which is a painful experience too, I guess. I'm told it's painful. No, it definitely is. Definitely is. My wife said on our first child, she was ready to send me out of the house because I was stressing so much about her delivery of our daughter Sarah, and it was kind of a long delivery, and I thought, oh man, I don't know. You guys are going through all kinds of thoughts in her mind. She's going, I just wish he would leave, because she just looked like she was in incredible pain to me and discomfort, and I was all stressed out. But I think I probably added more stress to the situation than the pregnancy did. But mothers sacrifice for their children before they're even born. And it continues on through their entire life, their child's life, and even through the mother's life. Think about how a mother sacrifices for the newborn. As a newborn, my mother even spent night after night rising from sound sleep to nurse and to change the diaper. I remember when they were really young and they'd wake up in the middle of the night and I had to get up and go to work, and she didn't have to do anything. She just stayed home and enjoyed the day. She's going to start throwing stuff at me. But I remember at night, and I'd get woke up and I'd hear one of the kids crying, and I would give her an elbow and she'd go, I know, I hear him. And she would get out of bed and she would go and take care of the kids. Mothers sacrifice night after night for the newborns. What about teens? A mother sacrifices for her teens as well. She's always there, ready to lend an ear, ready to be understanding, ready to help any way she can. I know even in our family, I look at myself and I'm thinking, I'm not always understanding. I'm usually just, get to the point, settle the problem, get to the point. But mom is more patient. She's ready to listen and to hear and to take interest in the problems of the teenagers. Mom is there to settle the fights and the arguments between the siblings. When they get out of control and they can't stand each other and they're starting to take off on each other, mom's there to break up the fights and to get in the middle of it and to bring peace back in the family. She's also there to give soothing comfort to the wounds and the problems that develop through the teen years. The teen years are such a difficult time for teenagers. Their body's going through so many changes. And they're learning how to deal with people, and they're developing ideas and thoughts of romance, and all these kind of things are starting to flood into their minds, and schoolwork is bearing down on them. A lot of things that a teenager has to handle at that time of their life. And mom is always there, ready to help any way she can, ready to give comfort to the teens. And when the stress of relationships is involved between teens and those at school, guys getting in fights with other guys, mom is always there to help and to intervene. And what about adulthood? Once your child gets off to adulthood, is mom done? Does she brush off her hands and just throw her hands up and say, okay, you're on your own, you're an adult now? Nope, mom is still there. All a child has to do, I know if our son Kyle calls home and says, hey, I need this or I could use help for this, she's ready to rush to his aid and to help him any way she can. Adults still need their mothers. And our mothers are always there, even in adulthood, ready, standing ready to give anything that they need at our slightest request. God tells us the importance of being willing to sacrifice for others. He tells us it's important that we sacrifice for others. John chapter 15, verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 13. Jesus Christ said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." You could just change one word in that and have it completely apply to mothers. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his family. A mother does that. A mother lays down her life continually for her family, sacrificing completely for her family. A mother gives of herself daily without the thought of the cost to herself. You know, earlier I spoke about how mothers down through time, and especially during the Depression and the difficult years, that mothers fed their children and clothed their children before they did themselves. And there's no thought about that. She didn't step back and say, you know, I'd like to give my son Jimmy some lunch, but then I'm not going to have any for myself, so I'll just give him half of it. A mother would gladly give her lunch for her child's lunch if it came down to that. Same thing with clothing our children. The mothers sacrifice for their children's needs far before she takes care of her own needs. There's a website that I found called Circle of Moms. Circle of Moms. And they asked the question on this website. It says, what sacrifices have you made for your child? And there was almost an endless number of posts of mothers that wrote in, and they told about the things that they have sacrificed in their life for their children. One mother said this, "I sacrificed everything, and I mean everything." But then I continued reading, and again, there was a random number of posts on what mothers have sacrificed and what their own personal story was. But I thought this one post told it all. It was from a lady named Jamie. She said, "I don't feel I've made sacrifices. I would look at it as being a mother and making the right choices for me and my children. If I have given up something or lost a friend or two after becoming a mother, it was for my child's safety and or well-being. I do what is best for my children. That's not a sacrifice. It's being a parent." And I think that speaks for most mothers. Most mothers have that attitude. They don't even think of what they do and what they give to their children as a sacrifice. But God sees it. He knows that they are sacrificing, and he gave them that trait as a part of their character so that they would take care of and nurture and fill those holes of their young ones in the proper way. The second important trait of a mother that I would like to look at today is our mothers are our teachers. Our mothers are our teachers. If you could go ahead and turn back to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 describes the traits of a virtuous woman. But if you read that description closely, you quickly see that the focus describes the traits of a loving mother. And where did these traits, or where did this description of this loving mother come from? Well, you find that in Proverbs 31, verse 1. These words were written by King Lemuel. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. See, he's relaying everything about this virtuous woman as instruction that he personally received from his mother. His mother taught him what to look for in a woman. What to search for in a woman. What a virtuous woman looks like. King Lemuel didn't sit down and say, well, now, what if I had to design my perfect wife, what would she be? Nope. These traits of this virtuous woman came from the king's own mother. Her teachings, to him. There's a book out. It's been out for quite some time. And it's titled, All I Ever Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Has everybody probably seen that on the shelves or possibly even read it from time to time? It was written by a man named Robert Fulghum. All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. I started thinking about that book, and I think the author's focus is incorrect. And I think the title should actually be rewritten, and it should say, All I Really Need to Know I Learned from My Mom. Because all the things that all of us need to know, we really learn from our mother from a very young age in our life. And that teaching continues on through adulthood as long as your mother is there to give you that guidance and that direction. Our mothers are the first and most important teachers in our life. They're incredibly important. They teach us how to respect others, beginning with them and the father. Mothers teach you must respect your mom and your dad. They also teach how to make friends and get along with others. Because kids, especially at a young, early age, start being combative. Start wanting to fight. They get selfish and they want my toy. And they go over and try to take somebody else's toy. And mom step in and say, no, 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 that's not yours, that's his. You have to ask politely, can I play with the toy? All those are important foundational teachings of interpersonal relationships that a mother teaches a young child. A mother teaches us how to love and to show love. How incredible is it, important is it that a child receive that knowledge of how to understand what love is? Genuine, sincere love. How to receive it and also how to give it back to others. When a young child goes and does something that is mean and bad, the mother steps in and says, no, 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 you need to go and apologize. You need to go and say you're sorry. She teaches us how to show love and to receive love. Isaiah 66, verse 13. Jesus Christ here in Isaiah 66, verse 13, inspires the comparison of how he will comfort us to how a mother comforts her child. Verse 13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. See, Jesus Christ saying, I will comfort you as your mother has comforted you. Offer that kind of kindness, that kind of love. That's how powerful a mother's love is and the teaching of love. What else does a mother teach their young children? They teach us manners, morals, and ethics. Day after day, as a young child, you're taught these incredibly important things in life. A mother teaches the manners and morals and ethics to a young child. Very important foundational instruction for any child. She also teaches us, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, but a mother teaches us to be giving. So important in life that you grow up learning how to be a giver and not just a consumer or a getter. A mother teaches us how to give. And how to share our things, even at a very early age. It might be your toy, and you want it, and then you have a friend over playing, and they want it too, and the mother gets involved and says, well, go ahead and let them play with it for a while. It's okay. Teaches that concept of sharing and giving to others. Mothers teach us how to be responsible, to clean up after ourselves, to take care of our bedrooms. Sometimes the kids fail in that a lot, I know. Jacob, his room's perfectly clean, and spotless. But a mother teaches us how to be responsible in cleaning up after ourselves. And most importantly, mothers teach that child the first most important aspects of having a relationship with God. The mother is there through the day teaching that child. When the dad's off to work and comes in very late at night, the mother is there to give guidance and direction and to tell that child who God is and who Jesus Christ is. And it gives, the mother gives that lesson about God's ways and how wonderful they are and how they will lead to blessings in your life if you follow them. Mothers teach us an endless amount of basic foundational knowledge of how to live our lives successfully. Jesus Christ spoke to Moses and to the children of Israel and told us how we are to view our parents. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I am the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths, I am the Lord your God." That respect that a mother teaches her children of herself, that the child should respect her and respect the father, is so incredibly important. Because if a child doesn't grow up respecting mom and dad, they'll never be able to respect their real father in heaven. You cannot respect God if you don't respect your own mother and father. That foundational teaching of respect to the mother and father is so important in even the beginning steps of that child developing a relationship with God later on in life. I'd like to read from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm going to read it from the ESV. It says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." God inspired David to tell us that it's important that a child, a son or a daughter, be eager to receive the instruction of their father and their mother, that they're not to forsake the mother's teaching. The third trait that God instilled within mothers, the third trait is there's nothing like a mother's love. There is nothing like a mother's love. A mother gives and gives everything that she can for her children. That giving comes from a love that only a mother and God can understand. I truly believe that men don't really grasp the depth of the love of a mother for their child. I don't think we can grasp that on the same level. And I think it's simply because we didn't go through the pains and the discomfort that comes from pregnancy. You give your whole physical body to deliver that child into this world. And men just stand by and say, "Oh, I wish I could do something for you, honey." But I'm just joking about that. Men are emotionally involved in it as well. But it is, a mother gives it to a depth that a man can't quite understand. And that builds a bond and a love for that child that is different. I think God understands it because God gave his own son, Jesus Christ, for us. He's given everything for us. On CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network website, they quoted a poem that was written by someone in the early 1900s. And I want to share that with you. They call it a poem, but it's more or less just an acronym for the word mother. But I do want to share that with you. It said, "M is for the many things she gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. And R means right, and right she'll always be. It concludes by saying, put them all together, they spell mother. A word that means the world to me. And the author was unknown. I feel that the poem properly describes the love that comes from a mother. It really speaks right to the heart of the issue of how much and deep the love is of a mother to their child. God tells us that our love has to be from the depths of our heart. It has to be for one another. In life, we have to be to the complete sincerity in giving love towards one another. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. First John chapter 3, verse 18. Love is such an important hole that needs to be filled in all of our lives. And God tells us why here and how to do it. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth, or in sincerity, in the depth of sincerity. And you show your love by your deeds. And a mother shows her love for her children constantly by her deeds and what she does for them. A mother's love is incredibly sincere for her children and incredibly powerful for their children as well. Mothers aren't perfect. In fact, they make as many mistakes as anybody in life. But the traits they have are unique and they've been given to them by God. God chose to share a part of who He is with our mothers. Those traits that we've studied and talked about today are actually traits of God. It's who He is to you and I. He has that depth of love. He is our teacher to guide us and direct us in our life. And He has sacrificed incredibly for each and every one of us. So mothers aren't perfect. They make mistakes as much as anybody. But they've been given an incredibly special part of God's character for them in their life so that they have the ability to properly rear their children and to fill those holes that need to be filled in their child's life so that they can be incredibly successful in life. That's what God wants for all of us, to be incredibly successful in life. He didn't give us life so that we could go out and struggle and fail. Sometimes there are struggles in life. But He gave us life so that we could be successful. This Mother's Day, thank your mothers for all that she is, for all the holes that she's filled in your life. And then also go to God and thank Him for sharing Himself with your mother. Have a great rest of the Sabbath day and a special Mother's Day tomorrow.